Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin M Moments.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi there, we're back.
Hi.
It's Deacon Tom.
And Dee.
And we missed you. We've been gone for a while.
Yeah, we said we might not do a podcast over Thanksgiving weekend, and we didn't.
Well, the reason we didn't is because we were traveling, and we were enjoying family time, and we were having trouble connecting with our guest for today's Catholic Vitamins. We'll get to that in a little while.
And this vitamin is Moments, and we thought maybe we would just spend a few minutes talking about some of the moments we've had in the past week.
So we left Arizona and we drove to Springfield, Missouri, where we spent several days with our daughter and her family. We enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner.
Enjoyed some time with the grandkids.
It was a lot of fun for sure. And then we left, Sunday morning?
Sunday morning. Another two-day drive to come to Colorado, and we drove into Colorado and the Denver area Monday?
Monday afternoon.
And oh, folks, what a glorious, glorious day it was. It was just beautiful weather-wise. It was mild, it was sunny, it was just gorgeous.
That clear blue Colorado sky that I've always associated with the Blessed Virgin Mary was out for sure, and we were saying, thank you, dear Lord, for...
Oh, we were beaming from ear to ear. We were so happy to be here again.
Well, we arrived in Estes Park, our town that we lived in for 9 years. We checked into a wonderful condo next door to where we used to live. For a lot of years, we watched this place for the non-resident owners, and... We took care of it and helped them with some things, and now that we don't live here anymore, they allow us to come and use it when they're not using it.
They are such wonderful people, and it's just such a beautiful place. We're always so comfortable here.
So we've been here, and we've been visiting our old parish, Our Lady of the Mountains in Estes Park. We've had a wonderful dinner party last night, dear. Gosh, it was just wonderful.
We went to some really good friends' house that live outside of Estes Park, outside of the town. And actually, they've got a beautiful home, but it's in a very, very remote location. And when we came out last night after our wonderful dinner with them and all the other friends who were there, it was snowing.
Yeah.
And so we had to drive back into town very slowly. And we woke up this morning to just a virtual winter wonderland. Oh, it was so beautiful.
Wasn't a lot of snow, maybe 3.5-4 inches, but very, very beautiful on all of the evergreens and pine trees, and really, really pretty. And the two dogs that we brought with us were out running around. They were enjoying it. So you can tell that we are enjoying the moments that we've been having and that we're having while we're visiting Estes Park, Colorado.
This morning, I went back in and sat in with my Bible study group that I participated in for many years. And then following that, everybody trekked down to a local restaurant where we had prearranged to have a luncheon together. And so we had two big long tables of people having lunch with us. And this was all for us coming back to visit. And it was a wonderful way for us to get to see a lot of people in one place at one time.
Those of you that are listening, I hope you'll humor us sharing a few moments with you. I wanted to go back to two things. First, I want to go back to the dinner, the wonderful dinner party we had up on the mountain last night. And the couple, Wayne and Peggy, we have loved them dearly, and they've been so wonderfully kind to us. They put on this dinner party, and we had to sing for our supper.
Peggy's got this, she's like the wonderful hostess. She has this beautiful plate collection that is, every plate has like one of the 12 days of Christmas on it.
Right.
And so you sit down at the table, and we have the 12 days of Christmas song in front of us on a piece of paper, and whatever number your plate is, that's the number you have to sing. So we all have to go around the table and sing for our dinner until we get through the 12 days of Christmas.
We winced a little bit at some of the singing, mine included.
Wayne said it was the worst version of the 12 days of Christmas he's ever had in his house.
So then the other thing I wanted to share, just jumping ahead now until this morning, this is before your Bible study, Father Joe Hartman, the pastor of the parish, is so wonderfully kind and welcoming to us. He asked me to be deacon of the Mass this morning and asked me to preach and to stand at the ambo, the podium, and to proclaim the gospel, and then to preach to so many who were, there must have been 35 or 40 people easy at Mass this morning in spite of the snow. And Dee, because you were sitting there, it made me emotional to stand there and to start to preach. But once I got into it, talking about the readings that we had for today's Mass, it was just beautiful.
And I had several people come up to me afterwards and say, oh, how wonderful it was to have Deacon Tom preaching in the church again.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to throw in another moment, just since we're back here in Colorado and because we had the snow overnight. I had many moments today when I was very nervous walking around outside because of my little accident I had here before we moved away about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I fell on the ice right out in front of our condo and broke my wrist.
Badly broke your wrist.
So I am very, very cautious and very nervous when I have to walk on this stuff.
So we'll wrap up our personal sharing of these moments by reminding you that this is Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin M Moments. About us being here in Colorado, I'm reminded of the words, Lord, it is good to be here. And that is the way that we feel because we have so many friends and so many memories here. But I think now we need to move into our show. Thank you for your patience in letting us share some of our life and journey with you. And we'll be back with our guest. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is an Irish named priest. I don't know yet whether he's Irish or not. His name is Father Pat McNulty. He's with Madonna House. Father, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Wonderful. Thank you for asking. It's a whole new experience for me.
Is it?
Yes, yes.
Well, before we get into the purpose of our interview, I think it would be helpful if people would get to know you a little bit. Could you tell us a little bit about your background and how long you've been a priest and that sort of thing?
Okay, I am indeed Irish. I was born in 1931, and I'm from the States originally, from the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, which is in the University of Notre Dame, is part of my diocese. So I was born, we had a large family, there were 10 of us. I was ordained in 1960 for the diocese. And while in the diocese, my early years, I began teaching in high school as well as parish work. It was one of the ways that we had to pay off our debt for our seminary cost. And I began with a priest friend of mine to bring young people up to Madonna House in the summertime to kind of look around to see what kinds of vocations were going on in the world besides the married life or the single life. And so we would come to Madonna House. And I came every year from 1964 till 1967. And then in 1968, I kind of had a meltdown. It was at the parish with the inner city, the whole civil rights program, the war in Vietnam, the renewal of the church, all these things going on. So I came to Medina House really because I didn't know where I was going to go from there. And it was basically here that Catherine really got me back on track again. And then I continued coming back here. I stayed in the diocese. I was in Pustinia in the inner city for a couple of years. I was 2 years in Jerusalem in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Then I came back from Jerusalem and opened up a house of solitude, Pustinia, in the diocese for 12 years. And then at that time, when it was time for that to close, I asked my bishop for permission to come back to Medina House full-time, which I did. And I've been here now for 16 years. I'm living in Pustinia, which means basically so many days a week in semi-solitude, if you will, and the rest of the time available to the community for whatever needs to be done.
Wonderful, Father. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Father Pat McNulty, and our topic is going to be vitamin M moments, a little bit of a focus on time and the importance and beauty of each moment that we have. But before we get to that, Father, let's assume that there are some people that do not know who Catherine Doherty is, because this will be heard throughout the United States and around the world. Tell us a little bit about Catherine Doherty.
I can tell you this. She is a genius at bringing life and faith together. This is her real gift. Catherine was a very unusual woman. She was born, of course, in Russia, and she was born in 1896. She was born into aristocracy, which was really God's way of preparing her in a very broad way for this mysterious journey through life and faith. She had an incredible exposure to life in the 20th century. She was one of 5 million refugees after the Russian Revolution. She was basically run out of Russia, her whole family. Some of her family died in the revolution. And she went through the First World War before that. She went through the Great Depression in North America. She went through World War I, through the whole civil rights thing, Vatican II. She was a wife and a mother, and a writer and a lecturer and a foundress here in England and in Canada. And basically just an incredible woman, a very gifted woman, but very specially prepared for this thing that she was able to do with life and faith. She has a vision. That's what really attracted me to Catherine. She was not a woman about issues. She was a woman with vision. And the center of her vision was her own relationship with Jesus Christ through a sacramental life in the church. She was baptized Orthodox, and she became a Roman Catholic in 1919 when she was out of Russia and on her way to she didn't know where. So they were in England. And as a young girl, they traveled all over the world because her father was in a business that related to his service of the Tsar. So she was schooled. She could speak many languages. And when they were in Egypt, she spent some time in school with the Sisters of Zion, which is a large community of teachers. And eventually, when she went back to England, she stayed with them, and she became Roman Catholic at the time. And the rest of her life is her Russian roots formed her for this vision we have of pilgrimage, liturgical life, respect for the church, a sense of our family roots, of all of these things. Really, she had all of these experiences herself and brought them to us.
All right, Father, now we are moving towards the topic of some of her approach to formation, but let us let our listeners know that she founded Medina House.
Yes.
And would you say a word about Medina House and tell
yes.
a little bit about the charisms or work of the people of Medina House?
Yeah. She had this thing, she was driven by God, we see now, about the poor. Now, for her, the poor were everywhere. And eventually, after many years in Combermere, she was not talking about the poor who had no money. She's talking about all of us who are poor in our relationship with one another and with God. But she was driven in these early years when she got to Toronto to go to the poor specifically. And what drove her was a whole new experience of the social encyclicals in those early years. She began to teach small groups of people in her own apartment in Toronto and eventually had permission from the Archbishop to sell everything she had and go live in the slum in Toronto and to serve the poor from scratch. And that's what she thought she was going to be doing for the rest of her life. But eventually it got out of hand in terms of the church's understanding of what it was. It was new. She was a lay woman and everything shut down. And she almost had a nervous breakdown. And she went to spend some time with her friend, Dorothy Day, and there once again met Father Lafarge, who was a great social teacher of the social gospel at Fordham University in 1938. And he invited her to come to Harlem and do the same thing. So she had a number of years with the African Americans in Harlem, feeding and clothing and teaching and loving them. And eventually she met Eddie Doherty, and she remarried. Her first marriage ended in divorce. It was annulled because it was one of these marriages where she was 15 and he was 30, and the marriage was annulled. They came to Cumbermere and thought they would come here and write and just disappear. Well, all of what she'd been doing with the poor blossomed here in a new way. It was here that Bea really, we call her Bea because, not because she was the Baroness, but because the people at Harlem used to say, if you needed something, go to this lady, she's like a bee, she can get it for you like honey. So she began to create here in Cumbermere like a village of faith. One of her older brothers came to visit her one time and he said, you have managed to recreate the Russia that we knew here. And he didn't mean nostalgia. He meant all of the characteristics of a family that's focused on life and liturgy and on God. And so Catherine did that by just doing what was obvious. She served the poor. She was a nurse, so she would go help women deliver babies, and she would go help people with their insulin shots, and little by little, begged clothing, begged books. People began to follow her, and by 1950, they came here in 47. By 1953 or 54, there were lots of people coming here, lots meaning, you know, five or six, and eventually there were 10, and now we're up to 250 people who come from all over the world, of course. But her idea was to restore everything to Christ and to use whatever skills people have to manifest their love of God to other people. And that's all sitting in the midst of a very strong sacramental life, a very intense fidelity to the church, and a life of prayer, which we call Pustinia. And Madonna House is really basically the incarnation of this incredible vision of ordinary, everyday life lived by faith.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Father Pat McNulty, a member of Madonna House. We've heard a little bit of his personal journey. We've been introduced, and I mean just barely introduced, to Catherine Doherty, the foundress of Madonna House. We've heard now a little bit about the founding of Madonna House. Father, before we move into the topic of time and moments and Catherine's vision of living the fullness of a relationship with Christ in time, would you say a little bit about the locations of Madonna House, just broadly, and about some of the charisms that they're involved in?
You mean like around the world and or?
Yes, yes. Just...
Okay. Well, Catherine never imagined that we would go anywhere except here, but it just blossomed out. One of the primary modes of mission for us at Madonna House, if you will, is we have to be asked by a bishop. We don't catechize, we don't evangelize, we don't teach. We don't take over diocesan jobs. We go to a diocese when we're invited, and we live in a house, and we serve. That's basically what we do. And what we have to be able to do there is to love one another so that out of that relationship comes our service to the people. Some places serve the poor specifically. We have a house in Edmonton and in Regina who serve meals to the poor and clothing, things like that. We have houses that are Pustinia houses where people come and pray and are alone and have someone to talk to. We have houses that are part partly this and partly that as well. But wherever we go, we've been all over the world. We were in Nazareth. We've been in Honduras. We were in Brazil. We've been in Africa. We've been wherever we go. It's basically to go and live with the people. We have nothing to give them except to love one another and to let them into our lives and to teach us how they love one another. And so people don't, we're kind of innocuous. They go, who are these people? Whenever we go anywhere, we come into touch with people of other religious orders or other missionary work. They always say, what do you people do? Mm-hmm. And basically we say, we don't do anything. We just love one another.
Yeah, I was going to mention Russia, and I might just say, by way of sharing with you, Father Pat, that we live in, my wife and I live in Arizona, and we're not too far from Winslow, and you know that they have a house, that Madonna House has a house there. It's called La Casa, and we've been in love with the people of La Casa, and they are in love with the community. It's a great love story there unfolding in Winslow.
And the thing that makes us so unusual, Deacon Tom, is we have the same struggles everybody else does. How do you love somebody you can't live with? You know, how do you love in an environment where the noise is beyond reason? It's the wonderful part of our life is just like everybody else's, but we do focus on loving in the mystery of faith.
Father Pat, you brought us exactly to the point that I wanted to be at in our time together and in this interview. We've named this Catholic Vitamin M as moments. And what we mean by that is, you know, how to live the love of God and the love of one another in each and every moment, how to be in prayer more of our lives rather than relegating it to Sundays or a quick something or other said just before we turn out the light. And I know Catherine had a vision of living the moments of our lives. When I have been to Madonna House, I became aware of the duty of the moment. So with that sort of foundation of my own thinking that led me to call you, would you say a little bit about Catherine and her vision of time?
I'm looking here at the Litany of Our Lady of Combermere, which is one of the gifts that we have. And the images of her really become these images of life. We speak of her as the Lady of Tenderness, the Lady of Blessings, Calm for Troubled Waters, Lady of a Thousand Joys. The one I love is Mother and Consoler of Those Who Are Distracted. She's the woman of everyday life. And Catherine knew that. She had a very clear awareness of the place of Mary in the mystery of faith and at the heart of the Incarnation. So, and one of the things that makes her awareness of Mary so delightful, it's not apparitional. It's not devotional. It's just about the mystery of a woman who said fiat to God. And then all this stuff that we see happening in the world today among us as faithful people came from that one little woman, one little Jewish lady who said yes to God. So Catherine really believes that the primary superstructure of this desire people have to live a life of faith, a life of focus and connection, that it's there in the heart of everyone who's baptized because of Jesus, because of the Incarnation, because of Our Lady. So she teaches us, or she taught us here, we kind of go on a journey. We go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to Calvary and back to Nazareth. Everybody would think, well, why don't you start in Bethlehem, go to Nazareth, Calvary, and come home? Catherine's sense of moving with Our Lady and with St. Joseph in the mystery of everyday life, somehow, for her, the primary focus was Nazareth. You have to be a little child. Then you go to Bethlehem, where you see the birth of this thing we call faith, and to Calvary, where you see the power of this thing called faith, the cross, and then back to live in the simplicity of Nazareth. Now, people come here from all over the world, especially right now. We have people from Korea, all over, everywhere. They come here. Some of them can't even speak English. but they get this thing because we live in Madonna House a very orderly life. If people are talking about time and faith, one of the first things I think we have to do, we have to live an orderly life. Now, you got 10 kids, you can only have the kind of order you have if you have 10 kids. But still, there has to be some sense that the environment I live in, my home, even if it's in the middle of the slums, my home is a place where God and I and my family have to meet. I have to take authority over the environment in which I live. And I don't mean in a spooky sense, running around with crosses and holy water. We do that quietly at Madonna House all the time. But just so I know, my home is mine, or my apartment is mine, or the one room I live in is mine, so that there I can spend time with my Lord, with my God. And so I encourage people to sacramentalize the places in which you live. You have to be sure that your house is covered with the mystery of faith. And we do that at Madonna House with images of Christ and Our Lady, the angels, the crucifix, holy water, all of those things that when we get up in the morning, my day is just as rugged as the next person's day. I have just as much hard time getting up as anybody else. And so I have to start my day. It's a discipline. For me, I had a small altar in my Pustinia, but I start my day on my knees kissing my altar. And when I travel, which is not much, and I'm in a motel, I get down and kiss the floor. I have to have some sense of proclaiming with my body that this day is not mine, it belongs to someone else. It's the day of the Lord. And then I need other little sacramentals, maybe a little picture of Christ next to the mirror when I'm brushing my ugly face, you know? Ways in which I can constantly recall that this day is not mine. This is, I have no, one of Catherine's favorite sayings is, your yesterdays are gone, your tomorrows are his, all you have is today. You have only this moment to do the will of the Father. If you're brushing your teeth, find a way to brush your teeth with faith. Thank God for your gums. Thank God for the toothpaste. Whatever. You turn the water on, thank God for your baptism. You've turned the light on, thank God for the light of faith. Any way we can to sacramentalize our simple everyday life without ramming it down people's throats, without making it an evangelical thing, is really quietly between us and God. And I know that's not easy, certainly not with a big family. I remember when we had the Christian Family Movement, CFM, back in the 60s and 70s, one of those simple things that the people in our CFM group did is they glued a picture of Jesus to the back of the door in their bathroom. And when the women, particularly because they're the ones who were left at home with the children, when things would get crazy, they would put the oldest child in charge of the kids just for a few minutes. And they would go in, of course, got all the dirty towels hanging over it. They would go in and shut the bathroom door, take the towels off, and spend just a few moments looking at the image of Our Lady, kiss her, put the towels up, and go back to work. They couldn't get out of the environment to make it holy, so they had to make the environment itself holy. And this, to me, is the hardest part, but it's the simplest thing that Catherine Erta taught us. We have to look and we have to find a way to sacramentalize the environment in which we live. And out of that comes all sorts of things.
Well, you are exactly covering where my heart was moved in this area about how people can be formed or taught or to yearn for recognizing that the moment that they have, the children that they have, the marriage that they have, that this can be exactly God's will for them, and the only way that they could live it is in the moment that they are in. And you've just shared with us how to sacramentalize it, how to have mini retreats, a one-minute retreat with the bathroom door closed.
Yeah.
What a lovely story.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is we are as inundated with the contemporary technology as anybody in the world is, in a way. Obviously, we have some control. We don't have all the luxuries that some of the high-tech people have. We don't have cell phones, for example, unless an emergency. But it's still a struggle for us because we realize how quickly this technology thing is growing and how much it distracts people. So here I am. I'm living in a pustinia, which is basically a 15 by 13 room. I have electricity, but I don't have indoor plumbing. But I have a laptop. And we have a friend of ours who has established little towers around so we can go on the Internet. So here I am, and I can go on the Internet and read the news every morning if I want to. I can go on and do email every day if I want to. I have to discipline myself. That computer does not go on until a certain time in the morning. I cannot start my life by reading my email, and I cannot start my life by getting the news. I have to start my life with the good news. That takes discipline. People have to stop letting this technology run their life. And so when I'm on the street, I have a thing about cell phones. They just drive me crazy. I finally had to stop being such a slob on the streets talking to myself about people on cell phones. I talk to God for them. Mm-hmm. Let them go ahead and talk on their cell phones. I can't control that, but I can talk to God for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to find a way to not let the technology become obsessive in my own thinking, you know? But it's a discipline. We have to really take control of the environment in which we live.
All right. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Father Pat McNulty, a priest of Madonna House, headquartered in Combermere, Canada, not terribly far from Toronto, up in northern Ontario. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. And as you have heard Father say, you will be introduced to a wonderful, orderly, loving community of people who really live the Catholic faith. Father used the word restore a while ago in sharing with us. And the newsletter from Madonna House is called Restoration, to restore all things to Christ. And Father has given us some examples of just practical things we can use to apply to the moments we have in front of us and not letting them control us. Father Pat, before we end our little talk here, I'm going to put links to Madonna House and to Madonna House publications and all that in the show notes for this show so people who will want to learn more. Do you have any book or book titles that you would want to mention that might talk about Catherine or Madonna House?
Well, certainly the website you mentioned would get them all that, but there are some that are more popular than others. But for me, when I think of sanctifying the duty of the moment, I would recommend Living the Gospel Without Compromise as one book.
Okay.
Obviously, Dear Parents. Catherine has a lovely book called just Dear Parents. But the seasonal things, too. We have books for the season of Christmas or Advent called Donkey Bells. We have the season of mercy for Lent. And we have the rest of the year called the season of grace in every season. They're all things from Catherine's own life and Catherine's own words that do this thing that we're all looking for, to make the moment holy, basically. And her own book, Fragments of My Life, is probably one of the best we have by her about herself. And then there's one written by a wonderful laywoman. It's called They Call Her the Baroness, which is from Alba House. That's the only one not printed here by us. And then you said, of course, restoration. Perfectly simple, good, easy way of being exposed to the mystery of this kind of life.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Father Pat McNulty from Madonna House in Combermere, Canada. Father, in this season of Advent and in this time of waiting for a new birth of Christ in our lives, could we ask you to give us your blessing?
Indeed I will. And one of Catherine's favorite sayings for her life was, "Give me the heart of a child and the awesome courage to live it out." So may that be the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all of your listening people. And my new friends.
Thank you, Father Pat, for being with us today on our show.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
What a wonderful guest to have on Catholic Vitamins, Father Pat McNulty. I've read about him and known of him for years.
Well, you know how happy this interview made me, because how many times have I been saying that I wanted us to do a podcast about Madonna House and Catherine Doherty?
Yeah, and there's so much more if given time we could possibly do. Father used the word pustinia, and then he sort of explained it, but pustinia is stepping away from the world for a day or an overnight or a period of time, and perhaps spending time with the Word of God, and maybe even bread and water, and just being at peace and letting God speak to your heart.
Doesn't pustinia mean desert?
It does mean desert. So somebody could do a pustinia in their own home if the children would let them do this. Their circumstance would let them do it, and they could do an hour with the Word of God, and it speaks to the peace that you can find at Madonna House. You know, one of the things, because of time, that we never got into with Father Pat was the cause for sainthood for Catherine Doherty. She is being considered by the Catholic Church, and her case has been wrapped up, and there's some investigation now going on before the case moves to Rome. So I think it's appropriate to call her servant of God, Catherine Doherty. And she has a wonderful legacy of writings and works and teachings. I liked Father McNulty's teaching about moments and sacramentalizing the place where I live, taking authority over the time that you're living in, the very moment that you're in now. His down-to-earth examples: turning on water and giving thanks for your baptism, brushing your teeth, thanking God for your gums, finding a way to sacramentalize the area that you live in, the time that you are in, because all you have, folks, all I have, is the moment that we are in. Dear, we have so many more things we could talk about the moments, but in the interest of time, what do you say we do some of the areas that you help with? Why don't you do our feedback and email address?
Okay. For all of those out there who would like to give us any audio feedback, we'd love that. Please call us on 206-350-3789 and leave us a message. That does not ring into our house. You will not be disturbing us if you call in the middle of the night. So you can call any time of day. And our email address is catholicvitamins@gmail.com. I actually gave it wrong the last time, didn't I?
Well, that's all right. That's all right. We have a couple things that we do on the show. One of the things that we do is Vita Quiz, which we did last time for the first time, and we didn't have a correct guess, did we?
We did not have a correct guess, but I'll just repeat the question. It was, in what year did Pope John Paul II initiate the World Youth Day gatherings? And I gave a variety of year answers, multiple choice answers, but the real correct answer was 1986.
Okay, and do you have a new Vita Quiz?
I have a new one. This is very short. How many books are there in the New Testament? And your multiple choice answers are 20, 22, 27, 30, or 33.
If you will email us or call our voice feedback and give us an answer, if your answer is correct, we will pull from any correct entries and select someone who will receive a CD and also a Catholic Vitamin Sweet Treat. And people want to know what the sweet treat is. It's unique to our show, and we do this because our faith is a sweet gift from God.
And my vitamin it for today: live every moment. Life isn't a matter of milestones, but of moments.
There you go. Well, dear hearts, we're coming towards the end of our show. We're on the road as we put this show together, and there's some more things we would have liked to have done, but we've enjoyed being with you. We'll get this posted as soon as we can.
And the fact that we're on the road, we may not get the blog updated in a timely manner, but we have a lot of links here that we want to put in as show notes, so we'll try to get those up as quick as we can.
One thing I want to say, it was a wonderful Irish priest, not Father Pat McNulty, but another wonderful Irish priest, Father Pat O'Doherty, who gave me a book many years ago called Grace in Every Season. And it was the beginning of my looking at and beginning to study the life and the words of Catherine Doherty for Madonna House. And I think if you'd like to get some wintertime reading, you couldn't go wrong with Madonna House Publications and some of the books that Father McNulty mentioned.
I like Grace in Every Season because it gives you a reading for every day, and it's just a one-page reading, so it's not very long. That's where I think we first started to learn about Duty of the Moment that Madonna House is so famous for.
Absolutely. Dear friends, we are in prayer for you. We try to sacramentalize the moments in our lives, and we hope that this show was a little bit of a teaching tool or a formation tool for your thinking. We thank you for being with us.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.